Hello and welcome to another post-game media edition of Talking Hoosier Baseball. Today is Wednesday, March 22nd, 2023. Last night, in the final tune-up before the conference season begins, the Hoosiers were in a pitcher's duel into the seventh inning when things got wild. Three hit-by pitches, two walks, an error, and six hits plated 11 Hoosiers in the frame after the stretch. Indiana staffed it on the mound with 11 Hoosier pitchers who mostly worked out of scattered trouble that included eight walks and two hit-by-pitches, but only amounted to five runs. Brock Tibbetts and Carter Matheson paced the Hoosier bats with three hits each. All of Matheson's went for extra bases, including a 430-foot home run. The media caught up with head coach Jeff Mercer and Matheson after the game.
Coach, obviously that's 11 on the seventh inning. Gates kind of just opened up for you there. What'd you see?
Well, it really was the difference in the game. That's a pretty obvious statement. But, you know, we gave them freebies in the top, and we were able to manage. And I know it didn't seem like that, but we really did. We had bases loaded and one out, and you go strikeout. And so you stopped it from becoming a balloon. And they gave us a few freebies. I have a couple singles, but they have a few by pitches and a few walks in there. And then we were able to, with two strikes, two or three or four hits with two strikes, we blow it open. And that was really what I saw in that inning was they weren't able to put guys away. And so maybe we didn't hit early in that count, but we were really tough with two strikes. And the team that can manage two strike at bats the best normally is going to come out on top. Like, can you manage two strikes? Can you manage two outs? Can you just continue to prolong the at bat until you get something to hit or there's a walk or whatever it is? And that's what has been our calling card as an offense over the last couple of years. We've been fine at it. We've been fine, but we haven't been as stingy as typical. And today, you could really see in that moment. I don't know if the top of that inning where it was like you guys get fired up, they're excited. It's like let's play winning baseball. And the reality is, when you've won a lot of close games like we have here as of late, there begins to build a little bit of confidence, a little bit of belief. Okay, this is when we're really good. We're really good late, and so let's compete here. Let's keep moving it along. Get to the next guy. And before you know it, you got three or four big two-strike, two-out hits, and you blow wide open, and the guys didn't really strike.
And I would imagine Craig being able to get out of that top of the inning also inspires a lot of confidence.
It does, and that was good for him because Craig has been dominant in many ways. Craig's just, you know, it's kind of been clean innings, and Coach Glenn and I always kind of talk about that, and he talked about it a ton, is it's good to get those guys in the fray, and you got to work your way through it. And so we didn't want to go get him. We had Crafty getting up. And everybody was up for one today, as you probably could tell. Everybody was up for one. So we knew we were going to throw Crafty, but it's like, man, if Craig could really buckle down here and pitch through it, struggle, and then finish strong, it's going to end up paying big dividends down the road when leadoff single in the eighth, one-run game, can you manage this again? Have you been there before? And again, he's been pitching for less than a year. And so, you know, as a coach, I don't want those things to happen, but he comes into a tough situation. He comes in first and second. Guy has a really nice swing. Their best guy hammers the ball to right field, and now he's in the middle of the thick of things. And he's just got to do it until he gets through it. And he did a really good job. He buckled down, landed a couple of changeups. Okay, the breaking ball wasn't working today. Had a tough time controlling it, so he was able to land the changeup and then use the fastball, and he was throwing really hard. So. Once he found the off-speed pitch that he could use, which was the changeup today, then the fastball was able to really play up. You know, we talk about that a lot, not being a one-pitch guy, being able to be, a two- to three-pitch guy, and all of a sudden the fastball jumps, and that's what happened, where changeup land, and then it's 94, 95, and he was able to beat some bats late and get out of that.
Unfortunately, March Madness ended for both the men and women. While it's bad for them, and you obviously don't want that, you now become the main show in town for the athletic department. You see the media was bigger today, the crowd was bigger. How excited are you, even though obviously you wanted the basketball team to go all the way, that you now become the focus of the main spring sport in the athletic department?
You know, I would much rather the basketball teams play and you know, we just kind of carry on the way that we have. You know, obviously it was growing up an Indiana kid and a huge Indiana fan, watching both the men's and women's success, especially the women's success this year, has been a ton of fun. And I've told this story a couple times. My mom played college sports, my wife played college sports. And so the Indiana women's basketball team has been the big thing at the Mercer House the last couple of months. And I know it was a tough ending last night, but what an incredible season. And we're just also very, very proud of them, and just to be associated with such a great program and in the coaching staff and the players. So, you know, you kind of get used to it when you're we play a summer sport in the winter, right? So it's like we're not used to getting, you're not used to getting a whole lot of folks until, no matter where you are, right? No matter where you are in the country, it was 30 degrees everywhere in the country this past week. So usually as the weather warms, you get more folks, and hopefully as it gives us time to get better before somebody comes and watches you put a bad product out there. So hopefully we play better and better as more people can enjoy and be proud of another Indiana program, as they've had so many programs to be proud of and to really attach themselves to. Hopefully we can provide that as well.
And how important is it for you guys to tune up heading into conference play starting this weekend?
Yeah, it's big. I mean, Indiana State's a really high RPI program. They played a great schedule. Mitch Hansen is the best coach in the state. He is a terrific coach and a mentor to me. Brian Smiley, their assistant coach, there's nobody better. So, you know, when you go play against an Indiana State team, you know they're going to be talented, well-coached, offensive, and they're all those things, and we were just able to get them on one inning. But, yeah, it helps a ton to be able to play against good opponents, and then obviously you kind of start the – you go into the fray this weekend, right? We go into the fray. But having that – the way that we were able to compete the last few weeks and find ways to win, be tough, and then to find a way to blow that thing open late, you know, it bodes well. And then the whole thing starts back over again, and you start 0-0. You know, last year we didn't have the preseason that we wanted to, and I lined him up in the dugout and tore up the stats, and the record didn't really matter because the whole season begins anew. And I'll do the same thing. I'll do the same thing before we start this weekend, because everything you do before that doesn't matter essentially outside of just the lessons that you learn along the way. And we'll start anew. And obviously Ohio State's played really well. They've got a great Friday guy, and you know, they hit 300 plus in conference last year, so they're going to have a good offense again, and their coaches are doing a great job, I'm sure, and be ready to go. It'll be a dogfight.
Okay, a couple more. Coach, you guys have played a great brand of ball here at home. What do you credit that to, and what does that mean for you guys as a team?
Well, I think we're being fortunate the way the schedule falls. Sometimes you're able to be home more than others. I think, again, when you're home, you're able to practice. So, like today, you know, and by the way, I'll take as many as you want. So take as many as you want. But, you know, today we're able to get out here at noon, so guys can come out to do early work. So you can make as many adjustments as you want in the course of the day before you play. So I think that's what really helps guys to play well at home. If you want to hit for 2 hours, you can hit for 2 hours. You're not hitting for 20 minutes, you know, before the game. I think that helps a ton. And guys know the field, right? They're confident in the field and the facility. You're an outfielder, and you know the field, and you know the warning track, you know the wall. You're an infielder, you know the bounces, and the backdrop behind the pitcher. You're just comfortable in those surroundings. And baseball is such a unique sport where, you know, basketball, the gym may be different, but there's no wind, there's no rain, unless you're playing on like on one of the battleships, right? The preseason, no, but you don't deal with the elements. So the goal is 10 feet and everything's the same, you know, in a lot of sports, everything's the same. Baseball is impacted tremendously by the field, impacted tremendously by the weather. All those things have such a big impact. And when you're home, you're a lot more comfortable, and the guys are confident, and you're able to practice and really, you know, go into it well prepared.
You talked about the weather, and usually in weather like there was today with a lot of rain, pitchers can struggle. But you guys staffed it today, and they seemed like they did a pretty good job through that.
Yeah, the rain really didn't have an impact. You know, the one inning we didn't pitch it well. I would say it was, you know, whatever they did in their throwing program yesterday. Yesterday is an off day. Probably has a lot more to do with, you know, them not attacking as much today. But they did a really good job managing the rain. Crafty was really good. I mean, it was raining pretty good. Crafty was really good. Adrian Vega had probably his best outing of the year. It was 90-91, maybe even 92. So it was really good to see him kind of turning it loose again. He pitched against us last year when he was at Butler and kicked our butt, and it was pretty apparent. He was a good arm, so it was good to see him out there today. So the rain didn't impact too much. I think again, if you make it a thing, it's a thing. And I do know that, you know, the fly balls at the last inning, you get 2-3 fly balls. I mean, that's like, I mean, someone spraying a garden hose in your face, you're trying to catch a fly ball. It's kind of hard to do. So, you know. Great outfield coach, Coach Weatherford, great outfield coach. You know, he probably learned from a great outfield coach, which is me. I taught him a long time ago, but no, he did a really good job. Yeah, boys is good.
One more.
Early in the game, you had a lot of walks. Opening inning walks. And you did have Braden Reisdorf walked one.
Yeah.
And then, but it didn't allow him to work pitch from the stretch, which you had talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And he seemed to maintain his velocity and got a strikeout at 92.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and that's exactly right. We talked about last week where, just like with Craig today, you got it. Sometimes it's good when they get in the fray. I don't want to lead off walk. For some reason, we decided we walked a nine-hole guy more than any team in the history of baseball. And that's frustrating. It's like he's hitting ninth for a reason. And but we did, and we have. So you don't want him to do that, but looking at the big picture where you're throwing only through five or six freshmen today again, they got to get out there and do it, and they got to go through it. And so, yes, I didn't want him to struggle last week, but because he struggled, now that stuff comes to light, the impurities come up, and then you're able to, hey, man, like, we got to be better with that. Like, we shouldn't be, you know, last week he's 92, 96, and then we're 88 to 90, you know, as soon as the guy gets on base. So this week, again, just a great point. He's able to hold his velocity. He's better from the stretch. We can make an adjustment. And so you don't want him to struggle, but it's the fastest way to learn. And he made a good adjustment today and was a lot better. I can take if you had one to jump.
Yeah, just with Brock getting hit over the weekend in the nose when he comes back in the lineup today, immediately makes a good play and has a few hits. As he was doing that, what are you sort of thinking to yourself in the dugout just about having him back?
Yeah. What he did the last couple of days really embodies what you want the program to be about. And it's a bunch of kids that love each other and that are too tough to quit. And if there's any way for them to be on the field, they're going to be on the field competing for Indiana and for each other. We have such a great group of kids. If we win or we lose, I show up every day feeling like I'm the luckiest guy in the world because the kids are awesome. And they really care. They care about Indiana. And I'm so glad you asked that question. I gave Brock Tibbetts the player of the game after the game. Now, he played well. He started a couple of those rallies. Isn't it funny how baseball is such a silly game where, like, the guy with the broken nose gets the first one-hop line drive? Like, you knew it was going to happen, and he gets a couple plays in the first inning, and he's able to just go in there and compete. Like, he just manages his way through it. The mental strength and the fortitude it takes to break your nose, and the doctor says, hey, you're fine if you want to go play. He's like, shoot, I'm playing, no problem. The first ball, one-hop line drive out, he makes the play. He goes out, has three hits and a walk, it's easy to talk about toughness. And everybody talks about it. Like, you scroll through Twitter, and like every 5 seconds you have like top 10 ways to talk about toughness or whatever, right? It's really easy to talk about something. It's much harder, especially today in age, to actually go out there and show it. And to show your teammates and to have that toughness and just like a stiff spine to be like, I'm fine. I'm going to go out here and compete for my boys. And then, you know, Brock's a great player. And so he is a game-changing player for us. And so if the doctors would have said, hey, you know, you can't play, it would have been fine. It would been fine. Like, we would have figured it out. Devin Goforth would have gone to first base. I'm sure he would have played great. But we were able to get him out there, and he didn't bat an eye. He didn't blink. And he played the same tough, competitive brand. And he showed his teammates, like, this is what it looks like, and this is how it's done. And that's true leadership. That's true leadership. Anybody can have, you know, the rallying cry in the locker room. You gotta have a stiff upper lip and go out there and compete, and that's what he did. And you wouldn't expect anything less, but at the same time, showing it and doing it is a tough thing. And he's awesome. He's the best kid in the world.
So it's broken nose.
Yeah, I probably should say that. But he's fine. They gave him little health, and he's ready to go. Put a C flap on his mask, and away he goes.
Real quick, with Craig, you mentioned you just started pitching a little bit ago. What is it about his spin rate profile that allows him to get so much movement on those pitches?
So it's funny. He threw at Houston a little bit before he transferred in, and I love Craig, but he couldn't hit, and so it was. And I tried, and so it became apparent like that wasn't going to be it. So it was the reduced year. And we tried him. He didn't have an off-speed pitch. I was like, hey, just pitch today. Like, just see what you got. And we swung and missed like 9 times. And that was really before that was when Coach Parker was here. And he's awesome. Great pitching coach. Best friend. Like, he's awesome. But we just didn't know as much as we knew about some of the profiles. And then when Coach Glant came in, I said, hey, there's a Craig Yoho. He's coming off his second Tommy John. And then he blows his knee out. And I said, I really think he's got a chance to pitch. And obviously, Coach Plant didn't know him from anybody. And I said, it's weird because he gets a ton of swing and miss on his fastballs against good hitters. And so he pulled up the data, and it was like, so if it's like, you know, 13 and 13 horizontal and vertical action, we call it a dead zone, right? It does exactly what the hitter's eye, the brain thinks it should do. So it runs just enough and it rises just enough to hit your bat. Pretty much like if it did one or the other, if it lifted or ran more, it would miss your barrel. But it's so you can throw it 95, it doesn't matter. If you throw it 95 with a dead zone heater, it's gonna get smacked because the human eye can connect with it. So Craig's is like 19 and 19, 18 and 18. So there's like a line of delineation and it's above my pay grade, it's way above my head. That's what Denton and Coach Glant do. And so he pulled him up and he was like, yeah, no kidding. Like this is like a metrically elite fastball. So it runs and it rides. So it like, it goes in and up. And so that's why it's like, if he could learn an off speed pitch to get him off the fastball, like his fastball got hit hard this fall because he didn't have an off speed pitch. But as soon as you put another off speed pitch in a hitter's brain, where he has to differentiate between the two, just that enough is enough why he's like two and a half strikeouts an inning. But he gets all that miss. So it's weird because the first time I saw it, it was like 18 and 19 or 19 and 19, whatever it was. I was like, oh, so it's a dead zone? And Glenn was like, no, you're crazy. Like this is a unicorn. This is really weird. And we just have to teach him an off-speed pitch. And then he has to learn to manage it and get to his glove side and all those things. So that's when we got him back out this fall. And he started flashing those numbers, and then we put the hammer down. And then you give him to the experts and let him learn how to do those things. But, it was the old school isn't always bad. But my eyes told me his fastball is unique. That's weird. I didn't know why. But when you get – it was like 9 swing and misses in one inning. It just a scrimmage. And it was like, okay, keep that in your mind. And then, you know, if we ever get a chance to convince him he's not going to hit and to pitch – and. You know, he's got a chance to be really good, and he's been great.
Yeah, I mean, it was a, 2-1 game or 2-2 game at that point, and I knew it was a big moment, so I had a lot of emotion around it, but just trying to get the team going.
You know, the power numbers aren't necessarily there when you look at just a straight home run total or whatever, but you guys have still maintained a really efficient offense through a different approach. What's been different about the way you guys have stepped to the plate this year?
Yeah, our main goal, we don't want to think about, you know, hitting the home runs and, you know, all the fancy stuff. Our main goal is just get to first base. And, you know, you go from there. If you go to first, a lot of different things can happen. So that's been our main thing this year.
Looks like in that at-bat where you hit the home run, there were a couple curveballs that you swung and missed. How did you recognize it and then stay on it enough to hit it really hard?
Yeah, so that guy had a good curveball. He obviously had gotten me with it the first AB against him. So he got me the first two pitches, so I just put my feet in the ground and, you know, just battled. Just anything I saw over the plate, I was going to put in play, and that's exactly what I did.
Of course, you guys break through with that 11-run inning, but right in the top half, they tied the game. What are you guys telling yourselves in the dugout as you guys are stepping to the plate that inning?
You know, just keep going. You know, we weren't thinking anything much of it. You know, we have a good offense, and we trust our offense, so we'll do anything for our pitchers and, you know, whatever we have to do to take the lead. That's what we were going to do.
You personally have set the freshman home run record last year. This year you got off to a bit of a slow start. You're starting to get it together. Is it the weather warming up? What is it that you got off to a slow start and now seem to be getting out?
Yeah, I mean, just getting used to the pitching, seeing pitching again. And, yeah, maybe the warm weather helps a little bit. But, you know, just getting warmed up and seeing pitches pretty much.
You guys have won a lot of close games this year. So when it's 4-4 in the seventh, Is there sort of like a calm energy amongst you guys now?
Yeah, definitely. Just confidence is a big thing. You know, knowing we can win those games and proving it lately has been good for us. Just, you know, trusting ourselves. It's been good.
Non-conference play in terms of weekend series at least is wrapped up. What's the approach going into Big Ten play starting Friday?
You know, take it one game at a time and, you know, don't really think anything much of it. You know, we're a great team and what we've been doing has been working. So just carrying that on into the weekend.
On that, you guys have performed really well at home and you get your first opening series at home. What's different about being able to wake up in your own bed, just kind of get the amount of reps you want here versus on the road?
Yeah, it's very nice, you know, getting the early work in, getting the extra work in. Just, you know, being in your home stadium is always a good thing. So, yeah.
Are you going to get any more extra prep given that you're going to be going up against a Big Ten foe, specifically on the pitching that you're going to be facing?
I mean, just keeping everything the same pretty much. We don't have to take it, you know, any differently than what we've been doing. So just sticking to our, you know, approaches, sticking to our drill work and stuff like that is what we'll keep doing.
You guys seem to catch fire offensively tonight as soon as that rain started to come down. Is that a coincidence or did it have anything to affect with them?
I don't know. You know, rain might have helped, but yeah, we got hot. We had a good time.
You ever been a part of a 65-minute inning?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Weather permitting, the conference season starts on Friday, March 24th at 6 p.m. as the Hoosiers host the Ohio State Buckeyes. See you at the BART.